Welcome to The Vinyl Preacher, your weekly podcast where we talk about the Bible, make a playlist, and sometimes start a fire. I'm Matt Cato, pastor at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Los Angeles, California.
And I'm Zach Paris. I am a ordained minister of word and sacrament in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. This time of year, I am a pyrotechnic clergy for hire.
Zach, you flew from Colorado to Los Angeles to light a fire at my vigil 4 years ago. 4 years ago.
Where did the time go? 4 years ago. We are getting very old.
And that's what you did at my vigil. We really needed a fire starter. I couldn't. You got to get the best. And so we, you know. And then now this year.
I'm a fire starter.
You're going to light a fire again.
In the words of James Taylor, I've got fire and I've got rain this year, Matt. I've been hired out by St. Aidan's Episcopal Church in Boulder. It's Holy Saturday for our listeners as we record this. For us, it is. For listeners, it's not Holy Saturday because this definitely won't come out later
today. Isn't it always Holy Saturday?
Holy Saturday is really like the Schrodinger's cat of Christian days, right? Jesus is in the tomb.
I don't know what that means, but yes.
I don't know, right? You can't, like, complete unpredictability about what's inside the box. So tonight at St. Aidan's Episcopal Church, they're doing a small, super chill, in-person vigil sort of thing, because nobody ever comes to the vigil anyway. And I've been contracted out to provide my fire starting services in a purely ceremonial way, in case you're listening from the city of Boulder, where open flame fires, wood fires, are not allowed for cooking or for heat or anything like that. So we're definitely not doing that. It's a purely religious symbol thing, and we are totally legal. Also providing a font, because it's outside, and so I've got a variety of fonts available in my garage.
Yeah, you do. What are you bringing?
I can give you the full... Well, they didn't... again, for some reason, people feel the need to, like, tell me to be, like, reasonable and tasteful. So we're not bringing my 6 foot long by 3 feet deep horse trough, but the one that my daughter was baptized in, which is a nice, like, 3 foot radius diameter, maybe a foot deep. I'll bring
this
the
excellent
warmer
episode
I don't
of
know that we'll need it, but
just visual materials. Fonts are us. Fantastic. So you're bringing fire and water.
Fire and rain.
Amazing.
What are you doing without me, Matt? I mean, I wonder that just about every day. How
I can't
is Matt
believe that you would say
without me, but what are you going to do this year without me and my services?
I can't believe you would say no one comes to the vigil. People flew across the country to come to my vigil.
Non-ordained people, non-religiously educated people, or theologically graduate-level educated people seem to be less enthused than some of us.
Well, we this year are hosting... We're going to do an online vigil with high school youth from across the state of California who've been meeting for the last couple of months on Zoom. I know some students are Zoomed out. We've got a few, though, that just really desire to meet and... They've been especially talking about racial justice, and it's been really, really good. And their next meeting just happened to fall on the night of the vigil. And I said, we should reschedule that. And they said, what if we did a vigil? And I was like, you're speaking my language. Let's go. So, and it's, you know, as you know, like, this is a really fun service to be collaborative because you can hand out the storytelling parts, and it makes it really fun. So I've been seeing the videos that the students have been sending in, and they're really great and creative. And unlike anything I would do, so that just makes it amazing. So we are, we're looking forward to that. I will say we're going to have 3 different fires, one from each synod that participates in this gathering, which I just, I'm super really excited. And
kind of like
our friends,
the Olympics.
Kind of like the Olympics. And our friends, friend of the pod, Pastor Sarah and Pastor Manuel down in San Diego, have sent in a video for their fire. They filmed it with a drone from overhead coming into the fire. And let me tell you, they
I was hoping that the fire was so large that it could only be fully appreciated from like 20,000 feet.
No, she sent me a picture of them filming this, and she thought I'd be excited about the drone. But when I saw what the fire was in, it's one of those smokeless fire pits, Zach.
Oh, the one that the you sent me.
And I was like, is that one of those smokeless fire pits? And she was like, yeah. I was like, what? Does it really have no smoke? Like, tell me about it. Tell me everything. I want to know. Does it work? Like, so no, I'm even more tempted.
What was the feedback? Was it a strong endorsement?
She said there's like no smoke. She says there's hardly any. It's amazing.
Yeah, they're pricey. But
still,
everybody, I have some friends who have one and they speak really highly of it. I haven't got to experience it personally yet because life has been terrible for the past 12 months, but,
sure. Yeah.
But it won't take much to talk me into this. Man, that's what I should do. Actually, Matt, I've got time. I've got a $30 dividend from REI. Today, I'm going to stop by to buy a solo stove, and that's a tax write-off. We'll write that off. And
yes. Yes. Amazing.
Genius.
Amazing. I also attempted to film. I was like, yeah, I should do something special for Easter. So maybe I'll go film my sermon outside somewhere. You know? So I went to this place. Oh, that's really cool because this place we like to go to. I like to go there because there's a lot of birds and I got into bird watching because the pandemic does strange things to us. But one of the things that happened over the course of this last year is that it's at one point in the late summer, a fire swept through this nature preserve. And now, months later, you can see these green shoots coming up through the ashes, which I think, I know everyone pushes back at like the image of like, it's more than springtime. And that's true. But I did feel like the fire, like out of the ashes, there was something interesting happening there. Yeah. I was like, that could be something to work with, you know, and then you can do some stuff with it. But turns out I haven't really filmed outdoors a lot. And so I filmed this amazing, the vision, like it was such great lighting. Like I downloaded it onto my computer and I was like, oh, look at that lighting. Oh, that looks great. It's like professional. And then I hit play.
That's a new thing the pastors say this year. There was such great lighting. The light
such
was
such great lighting.
Really good.
The audio is terrible. So that sucked. Fortunately, I have this little program called Audacity that helped to clean up the audio. Still not great, but it's much, much better. Much better. Drastically better than it was.
Did you catch any helicopters in your audio?
Just wind.
Because I listened to a number of... I consume some media, Matt. I don't know if you know this. Some media comes out of Southern California in the Los Angeles area. And there's a podcast I listen to that I really enjoy called... Freedom, which is Scott Aukerman, Paul F. Tompkins, and Lauren Lapkus, and they don't play characters, they just talk amongst themselves, and they've been doing, for those of us who enjoy like the improv comedy podcasts, Zoom is not perfect for that, because the responses are delayed and all that kind of stuff, right? So they've done it for months now in Scott's backyard, a thing you may not know if you've not spent much time in Southern California, there are helicopters everywhere all the time.
Yep.
True. So a helicopter flies through pretty regularly. And then the Nate Burgess comedy special that was on Netflix was filmed outside in Southern California. And in the middle of his special, these helicopters keep flying overhead. And at one point he stops and complains about it because the first helicopter went from here to there. And then the second helicopter went from where the other helicopter went over to where the other helicopter used to be. And he was like, why didn't these guys just talk? You didn't need to like switch places. You already had helicopters there.
Yeah. It's incredible. I cannot imagine the Los Angeles police budget for helicopters. But now they got it and they're not giving it up. There's also like the other thing that's frustrating about those helicopters. There's no way to find out why they're up there. Like, you, like, I always immediately start, like, Googling. I go on Twitter. I try to figure out. There's no, like, you'd think there'd be some kind of,
like... They just, like patrol up there. It's why. They just have insane. One in the air. This was true in Bakersfield. Not... Like, you think maybe, like, this is, like, you know, Los Angeles is second largest city in the United States, one of the largest, biggest cities
Something's
in the world.
Going on.
This is a big city thing. Bakersfield, California, the police had helicopters and used them all the time.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time I saw a helicopter, Matt. Like,
yep.
And I live in a hub for the aerospace industry near a large city and lots of military stuff. Like, it all happens here, and I can't remember when I saw a helicopter.
It's insane. But it's like, you can't... I mean, I think it's nuts. But now that they have them, you're not going to put the cat back in the bag. It's just, it's out there. Give Kim us a cookie.
Cats or helicopters back into moose muffins.
And somehow, Zach, this week, you are really rocking the REM. You got multiple REM albums behind you and an REM t-shirt. What's happening?
Well, Matt, I'd forgotten that I had this set up because I am taking...
Sure you did.
somehow, somebody took down some of them. I've been taking another guitar class at Old Town School of Folk Music. It's going really well. I'm in learning a lot. And this is one of those things, too, Matt. Like, when do you out yourself as, like, an ordained minister of word and sacrament? Especially, like, in a cool kids kind of scene, like a guitar class with a teacher, you know, who's, like, a real guitarist and stuff, right? Who's super cool and, like, just telling, like, all these stories. And you know, my class happens at 9 a.m. local time, and already, like, my guitar teacher... surely spends half their time sailing with their vocabulary. He'll be talking about music and stuff. And the other day, he said something derogatory about REM. One of my classmates, he wasn't that mean. He was like, he's just like, you know, I never, and like he was New York based. And he's like, you know, I used to hang out with Michael Stipe a lot. He's a really good guy. Never, like, always thought it was like way too wordy. You know, and he had I get it, right? Like, in terms of volume of words.
Right? I used to hang out with him a lot. But, incredible.
He was like, you know, and that's an REM thing, right? Like, he shoves tons and tons of words into songs, right?
Sure.
It's not, you know, it's not John Prine. And a classmate jumped in and was like, they should have stopped recording in 1988. And I was just offended, mortally offended, Matt.
Yeah.
Because one, REM did nothing to hurt anybody here. Number two, that's a terrible, terrible take, right? If you want to say they should have stopped recording in 1998 when Bill Berry quit, yeah, that's a defensible take. But you're going to tell me they should have stopped recording before they recorded Automatic for the People? Right? Like, that's...
Incredible.
That's insane.
Incredible.
And like, the classmate had plenty of like mean things to say about Out of Time, which I get, right? Like, it's
nominated for Album of the Year, I believe, as we recently learned.
Mm-hmm. You know, it has like the weird rap, like it's of its time. It was the most commercially successful, but to have him stop recording pre-Automatic for the People is. To do no Warner Brothers album. That's no Green. There's no Out of Time. There's no Automatic for the People. No Monster. As we've talked about before, a super underrated album. There's no Adventures New Adventures in Hi-Fi. So the next week for class, because it's all in Zoom, I wore a different REM shirt and had all of my REM vinyl up here. And was like, oh, I didn't even notice that my... Yeah, I guess you're right. That is a bunch of REM stuff.
Did they appreciate it?
Yes, it was appreciated, so the joke worked. Anything for a bit.
Good.
Actually, I believe that's when I outed myself, Matt. When they started saying derogatory things about REM, I said, I'd just like you all to know that I'm an ordained minister of word and sacrament in the Evangelical Lutheran Church, and this is the most heretical thing I've ever heard in my life.
Wow. Incredible. That's a good story for why you have those there.
Mm-hmm. You got it. Matt, I didn't get to do it because we had to, like, things weren't super fun last week, and now things are super fun now, but I did get vaccinated. I'm half-vax, like a coffee, late in the afternoon. And, Matt, have we talked about the side effects of getting vaccinated?
No.
Because podcasters... I was a little disappointed, and I got to be honest, with the state of Colorado, clergy, faith leaders were in phase 1.B.4, right? So phase one, they thought we were priority. And so that happened. I got my vaccine pretty soon after that. And then they announced that phase two would begin, which is everyone above the age of 16, Matt. And they announced that phase two would start 12 days after phase 1.B.4, Matt. The governor of Colorado, my good friend, Jared Polis, who lives in Boulder still and commutes, he only thinks I'm 12 days more special than the rest of these jerks. I feel like podcast hosts and faith leaders are way more special than just 12 days.
You would think. You would think.
So I got the vaccine. I'm a Moderna man. I've been thinking about changing the name of the podcast to The Moderna Preacher. And I've heard a lot, you know, it's two doses. I heard a lot about side effects you might get after the second dose. I've seen people be really, like, really sick, which is, you know, worth it, but a bummer. I didn't know about the side effects of the first vaccine. I thought, and it was, my arm was a little sore for a couple of days. But I didn't know that one of the side effects of the first vaccine was constipation.
What?
Yeah. So they give me the shot. And then the person says, then they say to me, now, you can't do number two for 3 to 4 more weeks.
Wow. Are you premiering that joke on the podcast?
Oh, I've been workshopping that for for a week, various audiences.
Wow, I'm just grateful a helicopter didn't come in and interrupt it, because that was worth it.
You got it, Matt. Dear listener, if you and your situation, your context, your congregation are able to utilize a helicopter, not a drone, I don't care about drones, I want a helicopter. If you're able to use a helicopter in your Easter vigil, please email us at thevinylpreacher@gmail.com. We want to hear about it. You'll be a guest on next week's episode.
We want to hear about it.
And I would love it if you, like, left a voicemail at the Vinyl Preacher hotline that was just you trying to talk through a very loud helicopter. And we'll play that. I'm giving the bits away, Matt.
Good job.
In the second 5 years of the podcast, Matt, I'm going to have audio bits. We're going to play, like, voicemails from listeners that I've created.
Good. We'll up our game.
Good to have
goals. Sounds good. That sounds good. Well, Zach, even though we are recording this on Holy Saturday, our texts are from the second Sunday of Easter.
You preaching this week? Nobody normally preaches this week.
I think so, unless somebody puts out a sermon. Maybe my synod will put out a sermon. Sometimes they do something useful like that. Do you know there's an Easter Monday? And it's all about how the chief priest tried to bribe folks to say they took him away.
Interesting.
What's the story behind that? The story behind having an Easter Monday where we tell that story?
I would really focus and learn on that, but the church preschool where my daughter goes will be closed in observance of Easter Monday, so there will be no prayerful meditation.
Too bad. It's super sinister, and given that we just had Mark's gospel, which seems to end on a, I don't know if it's sinister, but definitely a odd note, then they have Easter Monday, sinister. Then second Sunday of Easter, they're hiding behind locked doors. I thought Easter was all these lilies and Easter eggs. What's going on?
It is almost as if the cultural understanding of the holiday is far distance from the religious reality.
There was a fantastic editorial in the New York Times, which I guess was written by a professor at Wheaton College, where he was like, talked about how Jesus being alive was more frightening to them than Jesus being dead, which of course... But, like, we never talk about it like that. Yeah. So, here you go.
It's the same guy who wrote a op-ed. The op-ed, his version ended up in the New York Times, of that was pretty similar to my online church is terrible.
That's true. I remember
it's
that.
The same dude. Yeah. Good. I like him. He's a good writer. My favorite faculty member at Wheaton College, far and away. I regularly get in and do a power rankings of the faculty at Wheaton.
Wheaton College of the great state of Illinois. Well, here we go. What should we start? I guess we should start in Acts. What have you got in Acts here?
Dear listener, if this is your first time through the lectionary and Easter, you will note that Easter is a funny time in the lectionary, one time in which they say the Old Testament is of no use to us anymore. The Hebrew Scriptures can tell us nothing about the risen Christ. He said tongue firmly in cheek, but that's what happens. You don't get any Old Testament or Hebrew Bible readings. Instead, we plug in Acts, which is kind of nice, Matt. Though I would encourage a semi-continuous Acts kind of deal. And maybe that exists, and we've just ignored it on the podcast over the past 5 years. But you want to continue. You're not going to like focus on the axe this week over the quote unquote Doubting Thomas or whatever. But out of context, we get this axe text. Now the whole group of those who were who believed were of one heart. Now here's your Easter lilies, Matt. You were hoping for sunshine and Easter lilies.
Right here.
Everything is great in Acts 4. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, just like the church today. And no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. Again, just like today when it comes to things like health care. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon all of them. There was not a needy person among them, just like today. For as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold, just like today. And they laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need, just like today.
Just like today. What a simple picture.
It looks pretty, doesn't it?
I mean, I guess it's good that it's here, even if this is, like, unrealistic. The truth is that in the rest of the New Testament, we're going to get a lot of more realistic pictures of mm-hmm. churches fighting with each other.
Yeah.
So it's good that we have this one tiny little glimpse in Acts of what it could look like.
Right.
And maybe on the best days, it does look like. Who among us hasn't had one of those days where you're like, this is it. This is how it's supposed to be. And then the next day, nobody shows up. But every once in a while you get a day like this.
Yeah, I think it's okay. Sometimes I think the things that I say might come across as saying that like the Bible isn't really like aspirational, you know, that the stories shouldn't be stored, aren't like, here's how you should, what you should do. It's not instructions before leaving Earth, right? Is a thing we've said before. But I think this is aspirational, right? Like, and it's okay to have some aspirational stuff. You know, the world is much more complex than that, and this story is not read by itself, but in combination with this story that is not all sunshines and Easter eggs and Easter lilies. I'm not going to, full disclosure, sell everything I own to give to the needy today, probably. But if you're going to have clarity, right? So much of the stuff that gets told to, for us to be aspirational, right, about, like, it seems kind of grounded in, like, purity culture stuff, right, of purity of mind and body and spirit and, like, all that kind of stuff. But there's a super clear thing that says, like, the thing to aspire for is to have no one who's needy. And I think that's okay to aspire to.
Yeah, and speaking of aspire, There's some way to do this. Aspire and respire. And Jesus is going to breathe on the disciples. Right? So Jesus is not only... I know I've preached this years ago, but you know, this is the day that Jesus goes and raises the disciples. Jesus raises the body mm-hmm. of Christ. And maybe here in Acts we get a glimpse of what it looks like when God raises us to community as the body of Christ.
Yeah, so you may read, to jump ahead a bit, right? A way you may have heard this story before is to aspire to not be like Thomas, right? To not need to see to believe. Like, that's what you should strive for. But that's not what the axe lifts up in the positive here. Like, the thing to aspire towards is opening the doors of the house and not having any needy.
Amen. Amen. So... all right, let's read this gospel and see how these things might tie together. Gospel of John 20:19-31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, we're big on day and time here in these mm-hmm. gospels, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Remember how cute we thought that was last year? when the lockdown was still fresh. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you." Apparently you weren't listening. They're just rejoicing. "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and this time Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So I do think, I mean, all of those things we just said about aspire and respire and breathing on the body and raising the body and God raising us into a community that where there are no needy and where the doors are open. That's what a God-breathed community looks like. Not like this one in the Gospels, but like the one in Acts. Mm-hmm. This is the mature community in Acts. This is the
they really got it figured out.
Yeah.
No, by the fourth chapter of Acts, no more problems with the church.
Got it figured out. Got it all figured out. So all those things that we already said. And yeah, I mean, here we are again. It does continue to be strange to read these texts about breath. When we are continuing, even though we've got vaccines rolling out, we're still supposed to mask up. If we go to church, we're still supposed to, I don't know, be outside or socially distant or maybe wear a mask. And all those things are still true. And so to think about that, I don't know. It's a very mixed time.
You know, I think that it was kind of cute and fun in a preacher homiletic sense last year, right? Like, mm-hmm. Oh, there's this story about being locked up behind doors. There's lockdowns and quarantine. Mm-hmm. This is an easy way to preach. I think a piece of new information that we didn't have 12 months ago, Matt, is like, as we've all become amateur epidemiologists, the thing we did not know was the aerosol nature of transmission of the virus at this time last year. And like, not just preachers didn't know that, like scientists like had to prove that out, right? And so what we know much clearer now than we did a year ago with these texts is that it is our breath that can be the vehicle of death, right? Like our breath is the thing that's going to get us in trouble. That's why we got to cover. That's why we have to mask up, right? So I'm struck by that, right? Like that. Number one, Jesus does like the worst thing you could do right now, breathe on someone forcefully. You break down their door and breathe on them. You would definitely go to jail for doing that. But that as I've kind of finished now our first sweep through this Why Christianity thing, I've been forced in a good way by students to like really be really clear about what is Christianity? Trying to find some words for that is difficult, right? But it's this cross-shaped thing. And here I think you can see Jesus doing it. Breath is a thing that we fear because right now because of how it is an instrument of death. And yet, with Jesus here, Jesus is turning it into an instrument of life. And maybe that's not like a one-to-one, like, and now you don't have to wear a mask anymore. But I think it's not that. It's you can frame this in a way where Jesus is not afraid to breathe, because breathing is giving and taking, right? It's not just a forceful thing. Jesus is not afraid to breathe your air. Is not afraid of the broken, diseased parts of you, and that you know. Following that cross-shaped way, we might be a road that leads us to that Acts 4 vision of things where it doesn't say anything, but I think we can assume that they were not wearing masks.
Amen. Yeah, and we can assume that they're not wearing masks. And also, I mean, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention, and I think you're going to in your song choice here, that line, "I can't breathe," that reverberates mm-hmm. through our world, especially when the trial around George Floyd's murder was taking place during Holy Week.
Yeah.
It began during Holy Week. And there it is, breath again, swirling around. Breath as life, and breath leaving us as death. Of course, relevant for Good Friday in so many ways, but also relevant now, I think, as we begin to think about, like, okay, so what does justice look like? What does a better world look like? How do we, where do we go from here? And to see breath both be, I mean, the way that you said it was, as the instrument of death that then Christ turns into an instrument of life. And I wonder how that happens here. I mean, part of what's happening in the story, right? Jesus says this thing about when you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven them. It's not just an abstract thing. Like, they all abandoned him.
Right? Yeah.
Right? So, like...
Yeah, the so living Jesus showing back up after you just threw him under the bus. It ended up with him on a cross.
Yeah. Oh, let me. By the way, let me just remind you. And he points out the nails and the... like...
Hey,
You know, like, and those things are still there. So, I again, like, it's one of those things that's so hard, I think, to wrap up in a single sermon. And yet you also can't completely ignore it, because part of what's happening here is the first steps, not the whole thing, but the first steps in reconciliation, which doesn't erase the scars, the mark, but it does begin to open up another way.
Matt, I've got a very rural North Carolina story. Perhaps I've mentioned it here on the podcast before. When I was in fourth grade, my parents decided to become horse people, though they had no history of experience with horses in any way. So they bought an untrained horse, and the internet didn't exist yet. And so my father bought a book on how to break a horse and teach you how to, like, make it so people can ride it. Led to lots of funny things, Matt. One of the things, though, that was in that book that continues to be true, that I believe it's horse wisdom, Matt, is if you go up to a horse and you want it to, like, trust you, the way horses greet each other is with their, like, noses and mouths. So what you're supposed to do, and it works. I think it works. Maybe there are more horsey people who can tell me I'm crazy, but is you kind of put your nose inside of one of their nostrils, and you breathe into it, and you, like, you breathe out and breathe in, like, into their nose, so they can really, like, smell
what?
You. Yeah. And it's a way the horse knows who you are, and, like, it chills it out and stuff. It's a real thing that I still do occasionally, like, when I'm at my parents' house, because the horses don't know who I am anymore. And I think, you know, in trying to, like, construct something, a positive vision out of this kind of negative situation in John, is that Jesus wants everyone to breathe. You know, the vision of life Jesus has for us is that everyone can breathe. And I think that a part of how I might construct good news out of this is that Jesus wants that so much that Jesus will give you his breath is a part of what's happening here. And maybe there are some better, like, CPR sort of, like, stories, or if you have the right context, that scene from Sandlot at the pool of sometimes you need somebody else to give you their breath. And maybe that's a part of what Jesus is doing here.
Yeah, no, I think so. And like, thinking about that image of breathing in, I wonder if one route to go is to talk about how we take breath away, right? And that's really obvious, like, all the ways that we take breath from one another. But God will not stop breathing life back into us. God will not stop that. God is going to keep at it. And that's part of what the resurrection is about. We take breath from one another, and we should acknowledge that. But God will not stop bringing the breath of life back to this earth and back to each one of us.
Whew.
And back to our communities, right?
There's a good news statement.
Well, now that we've figured out that, good news statement and good news image. I would really like folks, anyone who is preaching using the image of breathing into a horse's nostrils, if you could write in to the Vinyl Preacher.
Leave a voicemail.
We would love
1-800 the Vinyl Preacher.
If you could leave a voicemail with your best horse neighing impression, we'd appreciate it. It'll be great.
That's right. And then you can watch the Concrete Cowboys on Netflix, which I haven't watched yet, but
I don't know what that is. I'm going to check it out.
It's about the Fletcher Street Cowboys, but it stars Idris Elba, you know, and is about, we talked about it the other week, about black cowboy culture.
Okay. Amazing. Well, what are we listening to?
Matt, I'm really struck by the breath, by the breathing, so I went down the road of breathe, breath songs, and I was starting, leading with my best shot here, Matt, which is Breathe, parentheses, 2 a.m., which is a song I have known for years and years, and I could never, ever have told you who sang it. It's Anna Nalick, who has a song that you've definitely heard. I've not even watched the Gilmore Girls, but I'm assuming that it was on the soundtrack of numerous Gilmore Girls episodes. As I look at the Genius.com lyrics page, it says it's been played on Grey's Anatomy, Smallville, Charmed, and in many, many films. It's got that chorus you're going to know. And Breathe, Just Breathe. Oh, Breathe, Just Breathe.
It's a classic. I don't know how I know it well, too.
Has Anna Nalick done anything else? Can you name a single?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But she hit it out of the park with that one.
Crushed that, right? Then I am going to go, Matt, keeping my Netflix going. Have you seen Yesterday yet on Netflix?
No.
It's a good family-friendly movie. You should watch it. My Vinyl Spouse is really into Jennifer Garner's Instagram page. Her Instagram account, especially her stories, and so Jennifer Garner is in this and stars, and it's one of those things. This is a thing that exists with like parents with young kids that occasionally you get like a yes day as a reward, so your parents have to say yes to whatever the kids want to do, and so this is the story of that, and her is in it, and they end up at a her concert, and her plays a really important role in resolving the conflict, and she's fantastic in it, and that's really fun.
What?
Yeah, and of course, I can't. I know we've talked about hers. I Can't Breathe, but I went back and looked. And I don't think we've actually put it on. We didn't put it on the playlist during Lent, so I'm going to put it on the playlist this week. And then finally, because I did one that the Vinyl Spouse is really going to like, I'm going to put one on there. The Vinyl Spouse is really going to hate because Hannah despises the voice of Eddie Vedder.
From Eddie Vedder,
Pearl Jam. Any song, like her Pearl Jam songs that she likes are the ones where you can least like hear his voice. And this is one where you can really hear his voice. It's an acoustic Pearl Jam song called Just Breathe off of their 2009 album. It's really good and was like under like a surprise hit, you know? It was a really good song. It still is.
Yeah.
It's on the playlist.
Yeah. I think I remember that album. It came out when I was living in Seattle, so I felt like I had to buy it.
Because San Diego-based grunge rocker Eddie Vedder.
Incredible. This week, I've got Anderson .Paak's Lockdown, which I'm sure I put on the podcast before, but I just reading those locked doors, it just makes you think of that song, which really just is a brilliant... It does feel like one of the songs of 2020 to me. And then Benjamin Booker with Mavis Staples, Witness. Am I going to be a witness? Oh, anytime you bring on Mavis Staples as a guest on your song, got a winner. And then finally, U2 has been on the virtual road putting out these YouTube shows. And they get me every time. I go, oh, I've seen that one. Do I
YouTube
really need to? And
shows?
Then I watch it and I just, I know. It's true. When YouTube first came out,
that must have been a very confusing time for you.
It was very confusing because I was working at a Subway at the time. And the other employees would be like, oh, I just like to watch stuff on YouTube. And I go, YouTube? Like, what are you saying? Like, it genuinely confused me for the first several weeks of YouTube's
it's really
existence.
Fun.
But anyway, right now they're streaming Pop Mart. And it's just so incredible. I won't spend the rest of the podcast geeking out about it, but it's incredible. So let me throw a song from Pop on there. U2's Staring at the Sun, which does just feel somehow it fits.
I get it. I like it.
Well, there you go. Christ is risen. It's risen indeed.
Risen indeed.